This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Prophetic Dua. Ever since we were kids, we all understood that when we wanted to ask for something, there are better ways to do it than others. So if we're asking our father or mother to do a favor, to buy us something, we knew that there were certain things that we could do that would, you know, please them and that would allow us to be more respectful in the way that we're asking for what we want and would be more likely for them to respond to our request. And we continue to do that until today. If you're talking to a police officer who pulled you over, if you're talking to your boss, you know, there's a certain etiquette you're going to use when you're talking to them to try to deliver your message as effectively as possible, to try to request what you want as effectively as possible. And if we're willing to do that with our parents, or if we're willing to do that with our boss at work, then we are, you know, there's a greater obligation for us to do this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we speak to Him, we have the proper etiquette, we have the proper decorum, we know what pleases Him, we avoid what does not please Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, one example of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiya." إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ Allah says, call upon your Lord with humility and fear, and do not, and indeed He does not love those who are transgressors. And that verse tells us very clearly that, you know, there's a way to make dua to Allah, and there's a way of transgressing against Allah in your dua, going beyond the bounds in the way that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there was one of the, you know, sahaba, he heard his son making dua. He said, oh Allah, give me a white castle on the white entrance into Jannah. So his son, his father said, oh son, I used to make dua with the Prophet. We never made dua like this. And he's telling his son, you're being so uber specific with, you know, the thing that you're requesting, as if that you are asking Allah out of entitlement. Right? As if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that you're entitled to this thing that you're asking Him for. And sometimes we do this when we make dua to Allah. It's like, oh Allah, allow me to marry this person specifically. And you know, there's a sense of entitlement, like, oh Allah, you have to do this for me. Right? And the reality is that you're the servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, you have to have humility and recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal knows what's best. How many times did we ask Allah for something and Allah didn't give it to us, and maybe, you know, 6 months later we're like, alhamdulillah, I didn't marry that person. Alhamdulillah, I didn't get that job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me by not answering my dua because what I wanted was actually not good for me. And so we have to have a certain decorum, you know, humility when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have to have sincerity, purity in the way that we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're asking Allah alone and realizing Allah alone is the one who can help us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدْعُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Make dua to Allah مُخْلِصِينَ Completely sincere, completely pure, completely only to Allah. He is the one alone who can help us and can change our circumstances. And when we make dua to Allah, another of the etiquettes and manners we need to have is that we're present in our dua, we're mindful, we have a mindful heart, we're not negligent, you know, we're not thinking about other things, we're thinking specifically about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our praise of Him and His ability subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ That Allah does not accept the dua that comes from a negligent heart. You know, a heart that's making dua with its tongue, but it's not even listening to what it's saying, you know. You might be asking Allah for something, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me. And you're not even, you know, paying attention to what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your mind is absent. You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about a person. You're thinking about a place you want to go to. And, you know, one of the sahaba, Abdullah bin Umar, he said to, you know, some of his friends, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ He said, I know exactly when Allah answers my dua. They said to him, how can you know that? He said, I know exactly the moment Allah answers my dua. He said, because it is the moment in which my hair starts to stand. And it's the moment in which my heart starts to shake. And it's the moment in which the tears start to drop from my eyes. He said, because I know that is the hour Allah is accepting the dua. That hour that I'm so present and so mindful and so connected, that for sure that is the moment Allah is accepting my dua. And Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said something very similar. He said to his companions and his students, he said, Do you know the one whom, from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their dua? They said, who is that person? He said, can you think of a man who was on a ship and the ship is wrecked in the middle of a storm in the middle of the ocean, and he is in the middle of the ocean holding onto a plank of wood, and he's calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Rabb, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. He said, that dua is accepted. And when any of you make dua like that man would make, then your dua will be accepted as well. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَ إِذَا دَعَىٰ Allah says, who is the one who responds to the one who is in distress, the one who is in desperation? Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who responds. And so when we make dua and we are present of mind, present in our heart, and we are calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with distress, with determination, with desperation, that's the time when Allah Azza wa Jalla answers our dua. And also from the etiquettes and manners of making dua is that we're calling upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, praying with both hope and with fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the prophets, he says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا He said that indeed they used to excel and run towards doing all that is good, and they would pray to us, they would make dua to us, رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا They would make dua to us, hoping, yearning from us, and fearing of us. And so those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with fear, those who turn to Allah with hope, and both hope and fear, this is something that allows you to attain the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why in Surah Al-Fatiha, when we're making this powerful dua, we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one who is the most merciful, most compassionate, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a hope, with a yearning. And then we say Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, we say the owner of the day of judgment. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having control over the creation, being the powerful one, the one who's capable of punishing us. So we have fear as well in that dua. And then we need to be persistent in our dua. Yes, human beings are upset if you persistently ask them for something, they get annoyed with you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be persistent. Allah wants us to persistently call upon Him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul mulhina fi du'a." Allah loves those who are constantly persistent in their du'a. They're saying, "Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me." Yes, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is good etiquette. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that shows that you have no other option other than Allah. Because the reality is, you don't have any other option other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, not to give up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, "Yustajab li ahadikum ma lam ya'jal." Allah will accept any of your du'a so long as you are not hasty. They said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "How is a person hasty? How is a person too hasty in their du'a?" And the Prophet said, "The person will say, da'ut wa da'ut wa da'ut. I called and I asked and I asked, and they don't see the response. Fayatruk ad-du'a, so he abandons making du'a." The person who, they need some money, they're in debt. They say, "Oh Allah, please fulfill my debts. Oh Allah, please provide for me. Oh Allah, please help me." And a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, they don't see an answer to their dua, so they abandon giving dua. And the Prophet ﷺ says, this is the person Allah doesn't answer to. We need to be persistent and constantly ask Allah and not give up hope and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of all of our affairs as long as we consistently, persistently turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. And just as we are persistently asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to not persist in our sins, to stay away from sins, because those are barriers against Allah Azza wa Jal answering our dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the example of a man who is traveling. And when you're traveling, your dua is more accepted because you're undergoing hardship. And the Prophet describes this man, his hair is disheveled, his clothes are in tattered. And the more desperate and distressed you are, the more likely Allah Azza wa Jal is going to answer your dua. And he's raising his hands, and he's calling out, "Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb." And we said, when you're persistent in asking Allah over and over, Allah is more likely to answer your dua. But then the Prophet ﷺ commented and said, "And yet this man's eating, his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, his shelter is haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُ So how can Allah answer his dua? When you're persisting in all of this haram, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer our dua? And so if we are persisting in sin, we need to struggle as hard as possible to abandon those sins, to remove any barrier that may not allow Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept our dua. And finally, when we ask upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to have certainty that Allah Azza wa Jalla will answer our dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Udu'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Make dua to Allah while you are certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in another hadith, if any of you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't make dua saying, "Ya Rabb, law shi'ta to fa'alt," "Oh Allah, if you want to do this, do it." He said, "Walakin liyaz'am fi du'a," but rather, be determined in your dua. Say, "Oh Allah, I want this. Oh Allah, please give this to me. Oh Allah, please grant this to me." You know, be you know, certain that whatever it is you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal is capable and powerful and will give you what you're asking for. That you're certain if He doesn't give you exactly what you're asking for, He will give you something better, or He will aid you and bless you in some way. And if you have this etiquette and this mentality and this mindset when you're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dua inshaAllah will be successful. And join us inshaAllah for more in our series where we will take other dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will learn them and memorize them and understand them and extract inshaAllah lessons and meanings from them. Jazakum Allah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.